This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Oh, how the plot thickens. More drama as it relates to disgraced, now dead millionaire Jeffrey Epstein, who dies behind prison walls just before he goes to trial on many, many counts of child rape, molestation, and sex trafficking. His cohort, Ghislaine Maxwell, gets the same. She's behind bars as well. But in the last days, a very disturbing bombshell in the case. Why was Jeffrey Epstein, sex trafficking victim Virginia Giuffre, charged by cops? This just days before she claimed she was on her deathbed after a bus crash. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. Sex trafficking victim Virginia Giuffre charged with breaching a family violence restraining order just a few days before a bus crash in which she first claimed she was fatally injured and had only days to live. Giuffre, formerly Virginia Roberts, now 41, posted a photo on Insta on a Sunday night, allegedly from her own hospital bed, claiming she had only 4 days left to live. She said her car was hit by a school bus that left her with kidney failure and that doctors told her she would be dead within days. Now, a spokesperson for Giuffre then admitted about 3 days later she had, quote, made a mistake and did not intend to publish the post publicly. According to medical sources, she does not have just days to live. Now we're learning that Giuffre was listed at a magistrate's court 10 days before the crash over an alleged breach of a family violence restraining order. Her husband, her estranged husband, let's be clear about that, Robert Giuffre, was also listed at the same court the month before. For what? Allegedly, quote, providing inadequate storage facility for firearms. Okay, I don't like where this is going. One has a firearm charge. The other has an alleged breach of a family violence order. Good gravy. That's a recipe for disaster. How, in any way, will this affect claims against Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, and, of course, the man-child, Peter Pan, Prince Andrew? I clearly recall what the whole thing is all about. Hold on to your hat and take a listen to this.
She believes, as I do, that no one, no president, no prime minister, no prince of England, is above the law. It doesn't matter how many contacts you have, doesn't matter who your family is, doesn't matter how much wealth you have, you're not above the law. And no one, no matter how young or vulnerable or powerless, is deprived of the protection of the law. And that is the bedrock principle of American law, and I believe it's the bedrock principle of the United Kingdom, from which we got our law.
Well, he's absolutely correct. That is well-known, renowned lawyer David Boies, who is representing this woman, Virginia Jeffries, in her lawsuit against Prince Andrew. We, America, got our jurisprudence, our body of law, our common law, from Great Britain. That's where we got the bedrock of our Constitution. It's easier said than done, right? No one's above the law. Yeah, in principle. But somehow, Prince Andrew has managed to skirt many, many claims. You were just hearing Virginia Jeffrey's lawyer, David Boies, speaking to ITV, joining me in an all-star panel to make some sense of what's going on, and to, although I'm sure they're not betting people like myself, and to give me the odds. Will Prince Andrew, York/Windsor. You can't even get a Brit to really tell you his last name. I've asked. Some say York, some say Windsor. Will he ever be brought to justice? What are the odds that Queen Elizabeth's son is going to kowtow to an American courtroom? With me, high-profile lawyer out of Seattle, Ann Bremner, author of Justice in the Age of Judgment, and you can find her at annbremner.com. Dr. Bethany Marshall, renowned psychoanalyst, joining us out of L.A. You can find her at drbethanymarshall.com. She's a star of a new Netflix series, Bling Empire. Death investigator, forensics expert, Joseph Scott Morgan, author of Blood Beneath My Feet on Amazon, professor of forensics, Jacksonville State University, and he is now the star of the Piketon Massacre, returned to Pike County on iHeart. But first, to a special guest joining us, Charlie Langston. She's the editor of Female, F-E-M-A-I-L, at dailymail.com. Charlie Langston, first of all, let's clear this up. Is it Andrew York or Andrew Windsor?
Technically, the royal family's name, last name, is Windsor, but they don't really use a last name. So it's Prince Andrew or the Duke of York, whichever you prefer.
So if they were to have to write a check, he would just write Andrew, like Cher or Elvis or what?
He would probably write Prince Andrew, or he would write the Duke of York. But the royal family typically aren't cashing or writing many checks, nor do they typically use credit cards. They have staff who use credit cards on their behalf.
Okay, then who was paying the bill that night at Tramp's Bar? Have I jumped ahead the night he was with an underage girl dancing and drinking, and his defense says, I don't sweat because of a war wound? Who paid the bill that night?
I would imagine that it was either paid in cash or that he had someone with him who paid. But, you know, given that he says he wasn't there, I very much doubt we're going to be able to find a paper trail.
Well put. Let's cut forward to what's happening right now. I want you to take a listen to the alleged victim in this case, Virginia Roberts, speaking to NBC.
What happened the first time in London? I was so young. Gielan woke me up in the morning and said, you're going to meet a prince today. I didn't know at that point that I was going to be trafficked to that prince. And then that night, Prince Andrew came to her house in London, and we went out to Club Tramp. Prince Andrew got me alcohol. It was in the VIP section. I'm pretty sure it was vodka. Prince Andrew was like, let's dance together. And I was like, okay. And we leave Club Tramp, and I hop in the car with Gielan and Jeffrey, and Gielan said he's coming back to the house, and I want you to do for him what you do for Epstein.
You know, let me go to Ann Bremner, high-profile trial lawyer joining me out of Seattle, and longtime friend. Ann, you know, you claim a lot of your clients are innocent, and you know I disagree. But let's set our past differences aside for just one moment. And when you're preparing for trial and you're working with the witnesses and you ask them to tell their story, that one of the first things I would do prepping for trial, of course, find my witnesses, go to their home or their job or wherever they were, and get them, without me leading them, to tell me their story. And I would look for detail. I would look for a story rich in detail. I'm a JD, not a DDS. I don't like pulling teeth. I don't want to say, well, what time was it? Well, who was there? Well, do you hear her unsolicited giving detail like we were in the VIP section? It was alcohol. I think it was vodka. And that morning, Gielan Maxwell woke me up and said, you're going to meet a prince today. And that night, leaving Tramp's Bar, she said, Andrew's coming to the house. I want you to do for him what you do for Epstein. The detail that she is providing is very persuasive, Ann Bremner.
Well, absolutely, Nancy. And that's why you've always been a great prosecutor that you've been and a wonderful advocate for victims. Devil's in the details. How can she make all those things up? And she's detailed in recounting everything that's happened with Prince Andrew. And she's been adamant about her facts and details for a long time.
You know, that's important, too. I'm glad you mentioned that, Ann Bremner. Very often you'll see a victim or a witness's story differ. I didn't say change, because a lot of times it's simply embellishing. For instance, the victim gives or the witness gives you the story. And then later you may say, well, wait a minute, how did you get there? And they add, oh, I took a cab, or I hitched a ride, or I took a bus. So they're adding to the story, not necessarily changing their story. But Anne's right. I don't believe Charlie Langston, joining us from DailyMail.com, I don't believe she's ever actually changed her story. She may have added to it over time, but I don't think she's ever changed it.
No, the story has remained incredibly consistent this entire time.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Jeffrey Epstein victim Virginia Giuffre charged by police just a few days before she says she was on her deathbed following a bus crash. Now, she and her husband, Robert Giuffre, recently separated after 22 years of marital bliss. They no longer live together in their nearly $2 million mansion at a beachside suburb of Ocean Reef. What does all of this mean? Now, that six-bedroom home was where the two had lived. This, as Virginia Giuffre wrote out the scandal surrounding charges against Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. The purchase of the home was finalized before the matter was settled out of court with an alleged $20 million payout from the Duke, a.k.a. Prince Andrew. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Now, according to her Insta, and I'm going to read it to you verbatim, quote, "This year has been the worst start to a new year, but I won't bore anyone with the details. But I think it important to note that when a school bus driver comes at you driving 110 km as we were slowing for a turn, that no matter what your car is made of, it might as well be a tin can." Okay, and that's a whole other can of worms, speaking of cans, to sort out. But I'm more concerned with how, if at all, this most recent turn of events with Virginia Giuffre will affect Ghislaine Maxwell and Prince Andrew. You know, Dr. Bethany Marshall, I remember the first time I ever went with my girlfriends to a bar. And it was for us to all go dancing. And, you know, I didn't drink, didn't do drugs, didn't smoke, nothing. Mm-hmm. And I remember what I had on, because I so carefully selected it, because I had never been somewhere to a bar where people were dancing. And I remember, I don't remember the name of the place. I remember very few people who were there, maybe one or two. I remember general things about it. And I remember thinking, you know, I've seen it, I've danced, I'm leaving. And left. But I remember mm-hmm. vaguely pretty much what happened. I'm trying mm-hmm. to, and if someone tried to cross-examine me on it right now, they could probably do a really good job. But this woman is giving a pretty detailed statement.
Nancy, she's giving a detailed statement because this was a very traumatic day in her life. We think of trauma as a broad umbrella, meaning what's traumatic to you may not be traumatic to me, but Nancy, being sex trafficked to a prince is a very traumatic event. And this woman had already been sex trafficked to Jeffrey Epstein. So she was collecting, she was a victim of what we call cumulative trauma. Can you imagine being a minor, having vodka served to you, being at this big fancy nightclub, having one of the princes of Great Britain come and solicit you sexually? How can you forget any detail of that night? And Nancy, just to go back to history for a second, you keep saying, you know, is Prince Andrew Prince of York? Is he a Windsor? A little detail is that the royal family is actually a German family. They're
yes.
from Germany. And that did not go down so well during World War II. So So they changed their last name. So this is not the first time that a royal has changing stories, changing details, whereas Virginia Jeffries, her story has not changed at all.
Guys, take a listen to more of our friends at NBC.
Virginia says the abuse moved from the bathroom to a bedroom.
He wasn't rude or anything about it. He said, you know, thank you and some kind of soft sentiments like that and left. I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that even royalty were involved.
She says Prince Andrew abused her two more times, once in New York in Epstein's mansion and again at his Virgin Islands estate.
Prince Andrew, of course, denies that this ever happened. He denies that it ever happened, and he's going to keep denying that it ever happened. But he knows the truth, and I know the truth.
Well, we were talking earlier. First of all, Jackie, did you hear that? Did you hear that, Dr. Bethany? Hold on, let me go to Charlie Langston. Did you hear that? He said thank you after the underage sex, which is rape.
Well, you know, I guess the one thing that the royal family always hangs on to is their etiquette and manners. So that
makes sense.
Okay,
did you actually just say that? Did she say that? Because I think she did. Okay, Charlie Langston, I'm going to let you think for a moment about what you just said. Guys, take a listen to information we learned from Filthy Rich on Netflix.
I first met Prince Andrew March 10th, 2001 in London at Gillan's townhouse. He knocked on the door, he came inside Gillan's townhouse, and we're sitting there having tea. Gillan has this favorite guessing game that she does. She goes to Prince Andrew, how old do you think Virginia is? And he said 17. And she's like, oh, you're right. And, you know, they like made a little joke about it. He's like, oh, my daughters aren't far from your age. You know, my daughter's a little bit younger than you. We went out for the night, Club Tramp in London. And he dances, and he's profusely sweating over me, and it was disgusting.
And let's hear some more of Virginia Roberts. Take a listen to our cut eight.
It ended with sexual abuse and intercourse, and then a pat on the back. You've done a really good job. Like, you know, thank you very much, and here's $200. You know, before you know it, I'm being lent out to politicians and to academics and to people that you, royalty and people that you just, you would never think, like, how did you get into that position of power in the first place if you're this disgusting, evil, decrepit person on the inside?
Let's go back. Charlie Langston joining me, editor with DailyMail.com. Did you hear the part where she said they played a sort of guessing game with Andrew, between Gillan Maxwell, Prince Andrew, and Virginia Jeffries, talking about guess her age? And there was no doubt Andrew knew she was 17, according to this witness.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the most shocking things there is that, you know, according to Virginia, he then said, oh, you're not too far off in age from my daughter. And the ironic thing is that when Prince Andrew has spoken out to deny all of Virginia's claims, he actually said that he was with his daughter at a party, you know, not too far outside of London, when Virginia says that all of this went down. So, you know, if we are to believe what Virginia said, it's awful to hear that not only did he know exactly how old she was, but that he knew that she was around the same age as his own children. And that is just the most horrifying thing to me.
Yeah, the fact that she followed up in the guessing game with the detail that he went, oh, that's not much older than my daughter's. Clearly, if she is to be believed, he knew she was underage. And speaking of the party Prince Andrew claims he took his daughters to instead of having underage sex, which is rape. It's called statutory rape because if you're underage, you cannot consent to sex. In that vein, take a listen to our cut 16. This is Emily Matlis speaking to Prince Andrew. Listen.
I have no recollection of ever meeting her. I'm convinced that I was never in tramps with her. There are a number of things that are wrong with that story. One of which is that I don't know where the bar is in tramps. I don't drink. I don't think I've ever bought a drink in tramps whenever I was there.
Do you remember dancing at tramp?
No. That couldn't have happened because the date that is being suggested, I was at home with the children.
Okay, so which is it? Charlie Langston with DailyMail.com. Was he at home with his two girls, Beatrice and Eugenie, or was he at tramps? I thought he said he was at a pizza party.
Yes, the story evolved to...
Wait, Charlie. The story evolved. It changed. That's what evolve means. It changed.
Yes, that is what evolve means.
Okay, so what's the story now? He's not at home putting Eugenie and Beatrice to bed. What's the new story?
He said that he took his daughter to a party at a pizza restaurant called Pizza Express in Woking, which is in Surrey, just outside of London. However, even if his story is accurate, the distance between Woking and London would actually have allowed for him to make it back to the city in order to go to a nightclub later that evening. So, you know, I think many people, both critics and royal fans alike, have agreed that that interview that Andrew did was a car crash. We also have to, you know, highlight the fact that he said he was actually unable to sweat because he, you know, suffered from a kind of condition that he sustained while he was fighting in the war.
Okay, wait. You're absolutely right, Charlie. Take a listen to our cut 17. Once again, this is our friend from the BBC, Emily Matlis. Listen.
She was very specific about that night. She described dancing with you and you profusely sweating, and that she went on to have possibly.
There's a slight problem with the sweating because I have a peculiar medical condition, which is that I don't sweat, or I didn't sweat at the time, and that was I didn't sweat at the time because I had suffered what I would describe as an overdose of adrenaline in the Falklands War when I was shot at, and I simply it was almost impossible for me to sweat, and it's only because I have done a number of things in the recent past that I'm starting to be able to do that again. So I'm afraid to say that there's a medical condition that says that I didn't do it. So therefore,
hey Nancy, can I jump in on this one?
Okay, I was just letting it soak in. He got a shot of adrenaline and he can no longer sweat. Is that even real? Bethany, where are you?
Know.
You said I want to jump. Jump.
Well, what I can say is that he has drugged his daughters, Beatrice and Eugenie, into his own sexual predatory behaviors. He's using them as shields or beards or whatever you want to use. So not only has he violated Virginia Jeffries Roberts, but now he is using Beatrice and Eugenie as witnesses, and he's gaining sympathy with the British audience by saying he was shot at in the Falklands War and he was so frightened and he had a shot of adrenaline that now he can't sweat. I mean, the whole thing, not only is it absurd, but just let it soak in for a moment, to use your phrase, that he is using his own minor daughters in his defense.
What you know, I'm glad you said that, Bethany, character? Because Charlie Langston, joining us from DailyMail.com, I understand that either Beatrice or Eugenie were asked about that night. Do they confirm the pizza party?
They did not confirm it to the point where it would be able to be used as evidence in Andrew's defense.
What do you mean by that?
Two of them have... Essentially, the girls don't have enough of a recollection of that time to provide their father with any solid backup. And, you know, at the time, they were both young girls. I don't think, if you were to ask me, I don't think I could remember a pizza party that I went to when I was younger.
What do you mean by younger? How old were they?
At the time, they would have been around early teens, I think.
Okay, but here's the other thing, Charlie Langston. Since he doesn't drive himself anywhere and he doesn't pay for anything, wouldn't there be a record of him being driven to this location?
He does drive himself to places. It does happen rarely, but he does drive himself to places. However, it is highly unlikely that he would have gone anywhere without some form of security.
You're right.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Jeffrey and her estranged husband seem to be locked in a very, very contentious tug of war over their teen son and daughter. Just a couple of days before the bus crash, Jeffrey posted a photo of her children on a beach with a desperate plea to see them. Quote, "My beautiful babies have no clue how much I love them, and they're being poisoned with lies. I miss them so very much. I've been through hell and back in my 41 years, but this is incredibly hurting me worse than anything else. Hurt me, abuse me, but don't take my babies. My heart is shattered, and every day that passes, my sadness only deepens." In a post from the hospital just a week later, she adds, "I've gone into kidney renal failure. They've given me 4 days to live, transferring me to a specialist hospital in urology. I'm ready to go, just not until I see my babies one last time. My heart is shattered. Every day that passes, my sadness only deepens." Now remember, Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein, was charged with sex trafficking and molesting. Jeffrey accused him as well. Ghislaine Maxwell is sitting behind bars over the same drama. How will this affect any of that?
Let's take a listen to our cut 18. This is Emily Matlis.
She was very specific. She described the dance that you had together in Tramp. She described meeting you. She was a 17-year-old girl meeting a senior member of the royal family.
Never happened.
She provided a photo of the two of you together.
Yes.
Your arm was around her waist.
Yes.
You've seen the photo.
I've seen the photograph.
How do you explain that?
I can't. Because I don't, I have absolutely no memory of that photograph ever being taken.
Well, I can tell you this, it would be a cold day in H-E-double-L if I caught my husband, David Lynch, at a party without me and his arm around a teen girl. N-O. But listen, he has no memory of it, but then suddenly, is there a light at the end of the tunnel? Take a listen to our cut 19.
Do you recognize yourself in the photo?
Yeah, it's pretty difficult not to recognize yourself.
Your friend suggested that the photo is fake.
I think it's from the investigations that we've done, you can't prove whether or not that photograph is faked or not, because it is a photograph of a photograph of a photograph. So it's very difficult to be able to prove it. But I don't remember that photograph ever being taken.
But it's possible that it was you with your arm around.
That's me, but whether that's my hand or whether that's the position, I have simply no recollection.
Oh, well, I guess if he doesn't remember it, Jackie, then it must not have happened. Okay, Joe Scott Morgan, professor of forensics, Jacksonville State University, author of Blood Beneath My Feet, star of The Piketon Massacre on iHeartRadio. I could go on and on, but I want to get back to Andrew, Joe Scott. Joe Scott, you know how every rape case goes, not everyone, but many of them. First of all, it didn't happen. I've never seen her. I don't remember her. I never met her. Oh, yeah, I remember her. Yes, she was at a party. We met very briefly. Oh, it's my semen? You know what? It's all coming back to me. We had sex, but it was consensual. Oh, her torn dress and bruises. I don't know how that happened. She's making the whole thing up. It's a fake. Well, here we have a photo of his arm around her. I think there's a drink in the other hand. I can't remember the other hand. I was too focused on the hand around her waist. And I believe she's wearing a little midriff shirt. And so it's her bare skin. How is he going to get out of that, Joe Scott? You're the forensics expert.
I have no idea. You know, you look at this thing and, you know, you think, you know, I kept waiting for him to say Photoshopped. And of course he didn't. He goes.
He doesn't know about Photoshop.
Of course he doesn't. Somebody takes his photos for him. And oh, one other thing, by the way, if a prince shows up at Chuck E. Cheese, I think people are going to remember. All right, you know, going back to this, and again, it's this web that he's created over these years. And I don't necessarily know that it's over these years. He might be a predator for all I know, but you know, he said the investigation we've conducted into the photograph. Who's he referring to? Does he have forensic analysts on staff that are, you know, really digging into this thing, digging into the electronic media here, trying to figure out if, in fact, this is him? Give me a break.
Well, I noticed something very critical, yeah. J. Scott Morgan. He never said proven it's a fake.
Yeah, and he knows that that would, in fact, be a bald-faced lie.
Well, okay, J. Scott, I think I have the answer that Prince Andrew is going to use to exonerate himself from this rape charge, underage sex. Take a listen to our Cut 21. This should just, you know, close the book on this chapter.
So why would somebody have put in another hand? You think it is you next to her in the photo?
Oh, it's definitely me. I mean, that's a picture of me. It's not a picture of... I don't believe it's a picture of me in London, because when I go out in London, I wear a suit and a tie. That's... what I would describe as those are my travelling clothes if I'm going overseas. So I've got plenty of photographs of me dressed in those sorts of kit, but not there.
Charlie Langston, what is he talking about?
Effectively, he's now trying to say that if he's ever in London and he's going out anywhere, he will dress smartly in a suit, and that the outfit that he's wearing in the image is only the kind of thing that he would wear when he travels somewhere else and doesn't need to look quite so official.
So how does this young girl, a very pretty, articulate teen girl, find herself in bed with Prince Andrew, according to her? Well, it all started in Palm Beach. Take a listen to Our Cut 2. This is from the BBC with Virginia Jeffries.
Virginia Roberts went to Epstein's Palm Beach home for the interview.
Glenn walks me up the stairs, and then there's this naked guy laying on a massage table in the middle of the room. So although there was this naked man laying on a table, I thought, okay, well, this is just how they do it, I suppose. He looked up at Ghislain. So she's like, okay, here's the lotions, here's the oils. Put your lotions and oils on your arm. Always keep your hand on the person you're massaging and start with one foot and she'll get the other foot and then we'll work together. So you just mimic my movements. So anyways, that thought went fleeting from my head, like that was strange, because we're doing this massage now.
And there you have a teen girl around, I guess, 14, 15 years old, who was confronted with a naked Jeffrey Epstein and his pimp, Ghislain Maxwell, who's now awaiting her own trial. It's always been a he say, she say. Jeffrey's versus Prince Andrew. Jeffrey's versus Epstein. Jeffrey's versus Ghislain Maxwell. Until a new bombshell. Is there finally a witness? Take a listen to Our Cut 27 from our friends at the BBC.
Epstein's housekeeper, also in a Florida court legal deposition, said that you visited the Palm Beach residence around four times a year. You got a daily massage.
Four times a year?
That was what he said in a Florida court legal deposition.
No.
I'm just wondering, when you look back now, is there a chance that those massages might have been the services of someone who was being sexually exploited or trafficked by Epstein?
No. I don't think... I mean, I... No, definitely not. Definitely not. And I definitely did not visit his Palm Beach house three or four times a year. Absolutely not.
How many times would you say you visited?
In total, probably four times in total throughout the time that I knew him.
To you, Charlie Langston, joining us from Daily Mail, isn't it true that Prince Andrew continued his special relationship with perv Jeffrey Epstein even after Epstein was charged with sex with young girls?
Yes, there are, I mean, there are pictures of the two of them walking together in Central Park, which, you know, Andrew then later said it was because he wanted to have a face-to-face conversation with Epstein to tell him that they could no longer have face-to-face conversations. But even after all of these allegations were made against Epstein, Andrew did not cut off contact with him. He continued to have a relationship with him.
Yeah, I want to go to you, Ann Bremner, a high-profile lawyer out of Seattle. Now you've got a housekeeper or an employee of Epstein's naming Andrew as coming to the Palm Beach home, the mansion of Epstein, four times a year. It's not necessarily how many times he's been coming. It's the fact that why was he there to start with?
Well, absolutely. And a cardinal rule, you know, Nancy, of the royal family has been never complain, never explain. And yet Prince Andrew's now between a rock and a hard place because he's been explaining and explaining, and the more he explains it, the less it makes sense. But then he's not cooperating where there's evidence. There's a photograph. That's not my hand, but that's me. You know, oh, I've had his house four times. I got all the young girls in New York and Palm Beach were quote-unquote servants. I don't sweat. And I have all these pictures of him sweating, you know, that were posted after his, what they call a car crash interview. So there's a case.
Jeffrey Epstein victim Virginia Giuffre charged by police for apparently breaching a family violence restraining order. Then she suffers in an alleged bus crash. How will that affect all of the court proceedings, all of the investigations and the allegations against Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, and of course, Peter Pan forever, Prince Andrew? We wait as justice unfolds. Maybe the only person that knows the truth is Virginia Giuffre. Will we ever know? Goodbye, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.